This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is with a great deal of pleasure that I welcome to the service this morning Mr. Truman Smith, associate in the Department of Missionary Personnel of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. He has served in this position for almost 2 years and is well known to a number of us, particularly members of the faculty and the staff. He himself is a graduate of our seminary with the BD and THM degrees. And prior to his going with the Foreign Mission Board, was director of student activities here at the seminary. We are most happy to have him speak to us today, and particularly happy because he has been willing to do it after such short notice. No Christian ought to have to speak with this short a notice. But it's a mark of his Christian character that he has been willing to do so. We shall hear him now.
I come without having then to lay claim to a great deal this morning except gratitude for being back here at Southeastern and being able to share again in a worship experience here. Two things I would wish to share with you this morning. One, some general impressions that I have had from talking with many people in the last year and a half who are either committed or at least searching for a place of mission service, committed to or searching for such a place. And the other has to do with the fairly new journeyman opportunity for service overseas for college young people. Some of you would not qualify any longer for this, age-wise or perhaps because of marriage, but I think some of the things that these young people are experiencing speak to all of us in ways that we can easily understand. Many people today are concerned that their lives be involved in something of permanent value. They are not content to feel that as the days and years go by that what they are about is going to pass away quickly. I don't think it's so much a desire to be remembered or to have a statue erected in memory as it is to feel that they are identified with and committed to purposes that will last, and that their endeavors will serve to both begin and at the same time reinforce all that God has intended that should happen to man, both in terms of his life and his destiny. I talk mostly with those like yourselves who are continuing in theological education, but there are a number of pastors who have been out of seminary for some time. And though the words are sometimes different and the context out of which they come varies greatly, they have this in common. We want to be involved in something to which we can give our lives completely and feel like that it does make some difference. Then there's another note that accompanies this. Perhaps some of you have said it. I want to be free, to be creative, to follow truth, to discover that which is at the heart of the gospel, both in terms of message and in terms of life. But I'm not suggesting there's only one place, or even that there is some place that has to be removed from where you are, that these two things can be realized. But I think as you consider places that these two would be appropriately a part of your daily experience, eternal significance, freedom to be creative and seek truth, you do find this in relationship to people who have yet to either hear or formulate ideas that are common to us of Christian faith and heritage. Dr. Copeland and I were talking just yesterday about some of the potentials in overseas service for creativity. No one, for the most part, is going to be directing your work. No one has the time to ride herd on you to discover not only the quality of your work, but to discover whether or not you're working in many instances. It doesn't mean that others with whom you work are not interested, but it does mean that so often you would be involved in a responsibility that would call for every ounce of initiative and creativity that you can possess or borrow from anyone else. The work is open-ended. No lines have been drawn as to extent or direction of one's ministry overseas. This has been idealized, I know, and one who has been involved in this work, or persons who have been involved in this task, have been idealized, and at times their halos have been polished to an embarrassing glow by those of us who serve here. But at the same time, the frustrations, the human qualities that must be a part of this kind of creative task are so real that the discouragements come before the creativity at times has a chance to manifest itself. This is not just a black or bleak or one-sided picture I would like to paint here, but to issue something of a challenge at this point, that those of you who feel unduly constricted by the institutions in which we find ourselves here might find an opportunity to try to be something new and creative in another context. It's not easy. Many who have tried it have found that they've had to even readjust their own idealistic concepts of what ought to be. And yet most who have experienced it come back, as you know, to share even in their moments of greatest honesty that what they are about is of eternal significance, and that God is at work in the world, that this is a grand and awful time in which we live, and that the gospel is still effective, and that there are creative things, not perhaps in the direction that we would choose, or in the direction that we would judge even at times to be the best from our point of view. But we do discover that even at times when the message is carried as a loaf of bread that has been dropped in the dust and picked up all kinds of impurities in its transmission, that there is a spirit effective and working that even purifies the message so that what is heard by those who have not heard this message before is more near the truth than that which the missionary himself proclaimed. This is that which is so difficult for us to comprehend, I think. And apart from the miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit, this would not be a possibility. missionary journeymen are college young people who are serving overseas for 2 years. They're college graduates, I should say. Some of these have written back some interesting experiences. I have some excerpts from letters here. I'd like to share three brief excerpts from journeymen who have served overseas, for at the time these letters were written, some had been there just 2 months and some three. So these are initial reactions and impressions. Here's one from Emily Roberts, who is serving in Monrovia, Liberia in West Africa. She says, another interesting trip we made recently was to a village for services. An organization here at school, the Life Service Band, makes frequent trips to nearby villages for services. We got to the village only to find that everyone had gone to a feast celebrating the death of a tribe member. We continued on to another village and found a warm reception. The chief invited us to come back for a planned service. Of course, we were fully initiated into crossing monkey bridges and are quite adept at that now. Many of the students here are very interested in sharing the gospel with their own villages, and we think this is excellent. Something else that we've been enjoying is playing with the students. Just about every afternoon, there's some type of sport going on. We usually go out and play with them. They enjoy watching us attempt their sports and vice versa. We're still trying to teach them baseball. Yesterday was a beautiful day, so we were outside most all day with some kind of sport. Our new outdoor court is almost finished and will provide much opportunity for group participation. Linda had an interesting experience the other day, one of the other journeyman girls there. Some girls were sent to the library to work on a punishment. When she reached the library, she found about 9 girls who had abandoned their uniforms so as not to dirty them while mopping the library floor. Some of the students really amaze us at times and also amuse us. As for me, I'm still teaching music with my blackboard and chalk, but we wouldn't trade it for the best paying job in the States. Mary Jo Northcutt, who is in Taiwan. Taiwan's a beautiful country, busy shops, bright green rice fields are now familiar sights. I see the town by bicycle. Morrison School for Missionary and Military Children is about 3 miles away, and I go almost every day to see friends or do some work with other missionaries there. My mornings are filled with language. For an hour, I teach English conversation to Miss Tsai. I've named her Jenny, she says, a young college graduate who's working here while she considers entering seminary next year. We're co-workers and good friends. I also teach Pastor Shea, who has been invited to an evangelistic conference in Berlin next year and needs to speak English. At the present, this is my most important task. Miss Tsai teaches me Chinese. Some mornings, I think I hear ancestors of 1,000 years turn over in their graves. When college classes begin in October, November, I will be teaching English conversation and Bible in the Student Center, which is near 2 schools. Next door to our house is a rented top story which will house 20 girls. College girls are renting the space. This gives them a place to live and gives us a group of students for a point of contact. I will have close association with these girls. All can speak a small amount of English. Church services are different from the ones in America. I find the lack of an organized Sunday school is a great hindrance as is the language barrier. Adults do not attend. This means a lack of training and a lack of workers, and so on. She also mentions that she ran into a herd of water buffalo and a few other things. Here's one from Charles Myers from North Carolina. He is in Kumasi, Ghana. Nearly 2 months have passed since I left Richmond. Much has happened. The tour of the mission stations was a rare treat. The revival messages I brought to a revival in a church was a valuable experience in translating my Christian experience into something that these dear people can understand. The revival held the first week in October, just after the visit of Dr. Underwood. I was so happy that through the efforts of our numbers, shortly after the revival, several new people decided to worship with us. My work at the school is a dream come true. The students are like any students you would find anywhere. They must be made to work. They need much personal guidance. as they learn to use and read the Bible. This experience of teaching things which are more interesting to me than anything else has made me very happy. I like Ghana. I feel at home. Mary Jo Northcutt, whose letter I read some of a few moments ago, is something of a cartoonist. After having been in Taiwan about 3 weeks, she drew a cartoon and sent back to those of us in Richmond. And on it, it had a journeyman young lady sitting down writing home. And underneath, she had an excerpt from the letter that this typical journeyman was writing home. And it went something like this: "We're having a wonderful time. We have made many new friends. The food is wonderful. We have a lovely place to live. Everything is fine. Love." And then, P.S., I cry a lot. I think this is, too, very typical of that which is found in this kind of ministry. There's the sheer joy of being alive, the exhilaration of new friends and new places, and the sharp pains of isolation and loneliness in a world that is not always sympathetic, either to the message or to the Christ whom we would seek to share. But in the midst of this, the opportunity for creativity in service is limited only by your imagination as you would present yourselves to this type of ministry. People are receptive, and people at other times are unkind. Some people are in need and know it, and others are in need and have never thought about it quite that way before. As you know, a missions conference is beginning here this evening. And in the process of tonight and tomorrow, as the program personnel have their roles of leadership fulfilled, some college young people will be confronting missions, perhaps as they have not done before. I hope some of you will be able to participate. The sharing in this kind of experience at this juncture in life, for some of these, will offer a challenge that they had not heard before. Hopefully a realistic challenge, one that takes into account the wrinkles and the seams of the world in which they will live, but one that will never fail to take into account the freedom to create something in relationship to other persons, create out of that which God has shared with us and given to us. I hope some of you will be able to share in at least a part of these seminars and general discussions, as well as the worship services of this conference. Share with all of us who participate in your prayers that this might be an appropriate and realistic presentation of missions in this 20th century.